said, "Don't hesitate to make Mary your wife, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you shall name him Jesus," meaning Savior, "and for he will save his people from their sin. This will fulfill God's message through his prophets. Listen, the virgin shall conceive a child." Now, think about this for a minute. Joseph knows the Old Testament. And so this verse being spoken to him, "virgin will conceive a child," would ring true to him. It would, all those prophecies from the past would come to truth with this. "She shall give birth to a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel," meaning God is with us. "When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel commanded and brought Mary home to be his wife. But she remained a virgin until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus." That's like a few verses, but Joseph's whole state of where he had to process this. How long does it take you to process really scary bad news? He's got to wrestle with this. I'm sure there were sleepless nights. Maybe he couldn't eat. He was struggling with this. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 says, "But when the right time came, the time God decided on, he sent his son, born of a woman, born as a Jew, to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own sons." At this time, when things are happening with Mary and Joseph, there's been a span of silence. People don't feel like God's talking, nothing's happening, life is just continuing. Have you ever wondered the same about our own world? The state that it's in, the things that we watch. 400 years of nothing. That's a long time to not know what's going on. Silence. And all of a sudden, there's this flurry of prophetic action. Things are happening. God is speaking. Angels are appearing. There's obviously something big going on. People that don't know each other, they didn't have the internet, they didn't have Snapchat. It's like, "Hey, Jesus just talked to me, having a baby." What? It's not like that. These things are all happening in different parts of the world at that time. Joseph comes in. Joseph has dreams of having a family. He's engaged to Mary. I'm sure he's really excited. We just went through this with my son, the engagement. It was exciting. It was a whirlwind of stuff happening. Everybody, there's dreams. There's things happening. Joseph has it. Maybe he wants to build a house. Maybe he's thinking he's got some, you know, property he wants to look at down the road. And who knows what his dreams were at that time. But he had things that he wanted to do. And then all of a sudden, his world comes crashing into a halt. Because God had other plans in store for Joseph and for Mary. Joseph didn't realize that. He didn't know. You don't know when you're going through these things what's happening. They're just happening. Yes, he was told by an angel, but at the same time, that's a hard pill to swallow. This is all happening in his life. And many times in our own lives, we think that things are going in a certain direction. And then all of a sudden, what do? They go that way. "But Lord, I wanted to go this way. And I felt that you wanted me to go that way as well. And so therefore, I placed everything in line to go in this direction." And God went, "Yeah, about that, we're going to make a little bit of a detour." And then what do? In reality, we panic and we go, "God, why have you done this to me? Why me? I've been a good servant. I've listened to you. I felt you were taking, and now you've done this to me. What have I done wrong?" And that's not the case. In most cases, if we're going in a direction and God decides to turn it, we're going to fight it because we don't quite grasp the fact that God has everything under control. Joseph is going in this direction, and we would be very similar. We wouldn't be like, "Oh, okay, that's cool. Thanks, God, the angel came. Awesome. So now what I'm going to do is just continue on this path," and whatever. There had to be a struggle. There had to be an emotional and mental struggle that he went through that we don't really recognize and we don't really give full credit to from Scripture, mainly because it's spoken so quickly. We fly through it really fast. Yep, she got pregnant, Holy Spirit, angels, lots of stuff going on. Thank you, God. Okay, we're going to do this. He had to struggle. He had to wrestle with all of it. And I think We all know today that things don't always go the way we want, the way we've planned them to. In a time where everyone is looking for answers, in a time where we like to take control of our future, I'm going to tell you there's three certainties today that I want you to grasp from these scriptures. Galatians, so first of all, it's God's timing is always on time. He's always on time. We think he's on our time, but he's got a different time schedule. Galatians chapter 4, but when the right time came, the time God decided on, he doesn't tell you. Have you ever said to your kids when they're like, so when are we going to get there? When we get there. We always want to know. That's why little kids are great that way. They say, are we there yet? I'll let you know. We want to know. We were traveling through Switzerland and Michelle was panicking like you would not believe because on the GPS we were trying to get to Zermatt, which is where the Matterhorn Mountain was. And so we had to drive there. But in order to get there, you got to drive through the Swiss Alps. On the GPS, we're like, okay, so we got about 60 kilometers to go. That's not bad. We should be there. I'll get there in no time. Flat 60K, that's nothing. We get closer to these areas, and all of a sudden, it starts doing this. The squiggle, the map, it does this. And then it goes straight. And then it goes, okay. And I'm looking at this thing going, I thought the Europeans had a way better GPS. Like, what's going on here? And so I left it and just ignored it, and then we did some windy turns, and then we get to the squiggly marks. And it was literally this, driving down. It was like this. And Michelle is screaming, which makes it really easy to drive. And I have to believe that God doesn't give us the GPS because he doesn't want us screaming in his ear. I'm not joking, I kid you not, because it's hard to drive with somebody yelling at you. I got to be focused, man. Sometimes when I do certain things on the road, I have to focus. Nobody's in the car. I have to pretend nobody's in the car because we're getting there. It was panicky and it was dangerous. If we knew what was coming ahead, if we knew, we would be screaming in God's ear saying, hey, this is dangerous. Don't take me this way. I don't want to go this way. And then we get to the bottom of the valley, and we're in there, and we're like, oh, that's way better. And I'm like, yeah, it's a little quieter. Let's turn on some music. And then we get to the next one, and we got to go up it. There was four of these. I don't think you understand when I say there were four, the amount of stress that was involved in that 60 kilometers. The distance was not long, but the journey was. That sounded pretty spiritual, didn't it? That just kind of came to me right now. Going through all that, I know why God doesn't tell us. He's always on time, and he knows what's coming. So we can't worry about that. And that's why he doesn't always show you what is happening in advance. Sounds simple, but then we're in it, and we wonder, well, just give me a little hint. Just show me the next little bit. And it's up to him whether he does or doesn't. When things don't turn out the way we want and the way we've planned them, we're impatient. When our prayers are not answered or when difficulties happen, we get upset and impatient. But you need to know that God is always on time. And there are many illustrations from the Old Testament that speak of him being on time and helping people through their lives. There's Joseph of the Old Testament. He was sold into slavery. There's a whole bunch of stuff that went on with him. And in the end, becoming the prime minister of Egypt, he was able to save his people. If God had said to him, guess what, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, all these bad things are going to happen to you, he'd probably say, no, thank you. I don't want that. But there was a bigger plan. And so in his life, in the end, he would look back and go, God was in all of that. When you look at Moses going through everything he went through, going out into the desert, living in the desert, his life is basically saved and his people are saved and pulled out of Egypt. And these are just a few stories, and there's many of them where God was doing things in their lives and they didn't even realize it. Look at King David, the stuff that went on with him. God was still working. But if we look at our lives, we would not always agree on God's timing until after it's done, and then we realize, oh, here it all is. It's all laid out. So the timing was perfect, at this stage in the game with Mary and Joseph. There was a taxation happening. Everyone had to come back home. They found a room where they were kind of hidden off. I mean, no one's going to look for them there. Lots was happening. And all this stuff that was going on, the magi, all of them, they all saw things changing. The universe itself was speaking out to these other kings in other nations, and they're going, something's going on. When all these different people who aren't in contact with each other are saying something's going on, guess what? Something's going on. In your life, know that God's timing is perfect. You don't necessarily have to understand it. In a world where we think we need to understand everything, there are times when you will not understand it and you don't need to. But his timing is perfect when things are going in a different direction than we thought. You are not here by accident. The difficulties that you are going through are opportunities for you to believe and know that God is working in your life and can work through your life. Those difficulties, we don't like them, we don't want them, we don't ask for them, but when we go through them, because life is life, you need to know that God can work through you in that. The second certainty is God will always meet you where you are. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel commanded and brought Mary home to be his wife, but she remained a virgin until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. You need to know that God will meet you where you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter where you've been. It only matters to know that God will meet you where you are. Those loved ones that you worry about so much that you don't understand where they're at and what's going on in their lives, and you have no idea why God hasn't come in, guess what? God will meet them where they are. But you don't necessarily know that. And you go, well, guess what? I do. I do know what God should do. You don't. You have an idea of what is a possibility of what you would like to see happen. But God is the one who will meet them where they are. If it wasn't for God meeting me where I was, I wouldn't be where I am. And I wouldn't have understood him at the time. And you all have your own stories. And you say, well, I was raised a Christian, I became a Christian. Then guess what? God met you where you were. Nobody had to tell me God existed. Okay. And if you're in a spot where you think that someone, you need to be told how God exists, you need to explain it and talk through, that's fantastic. I already had that mindset that there was a God. I needed to figure out the details. But I already had a sense of that. If you don't have a sense of that, God's going to meet you where you are. He's going to figure out how to speak to you, but we don't always let him. And so we think, get over here. I need you. You need to say the Lord's Prayer. Well, let's get this going. No. Let God work in their lives. If you're struggling with your concept of God, God will meet you where you are. God will speak to you in the way that you need to be spoken to. So he will speak to you where you are and your loved ones as well. And God meeting us where we are points back to our first point, which is God is always on time. Always. So those two connect. I would encourage you today to try and let God do what he needs to do in your life, and let God do what he needs to do in your loved one's life that you worry so much about. Let God work his plan out for them. You say, well, I need to do something. Pray. Pray, pray, and pray again. And also, be loving. Be loving enough that you can be there to share. Maybe God won't use you in your loved one's situation because you're too close. That's fine. But pray that somebody else will come in. And I've seen it time and time again. It happens. Let God deal with it. And the third certainty is this. God always believes in who you can be. always believes in who you can be. Galatians chapter 5, verse 5 says, to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own sons and daughters. God believes in you. That's why he sent his son. It's up to us to decide what we want to do. A lot of times people believe that they need to change before they come to Christ, that they need to change before they decide to get involved in a church or to lead a Christian. No, you don't have to change. You need to know that God accepts you as you are. He will do the changing. He will do what he needs to do in your life at the right time when he wants it to be changed, not when we want them to be changed, not when you want them to be changed, when God wants them to be changed. People struggle with many different things, whether it's psychological, physical, whatever, whether it's abuse in the past from churches, whatever that is, people struggle. You can't force someone into a mold that you have already preconceived that they should look like. Not all Christians are going to look the same. Not all people who believe in God are going to look the same. You can't force them into your mold. Well, I pray at 5:30 a.m. Well, then they should. I pray more. No. It's how God works in their lives and when he decides to work in their lives. The people that you can reach and speak to into their lives is different from the person beside you right now and behind you in the seats. You have a circle of influence that you just worry about. Worry about you. And be you. Be flawed. Because guess what? I hate to tell you. Flawed. Be flawed. Be real. Be legit. Don't hide things. Let your emotion. It's hard to love when you've been hurt. But let her go. Let her go. Don't build up those walls. Build a community, build a relationship with others so that they know that you truly and genuinely care. It's not because you're trying to get jewels in your crown. It's not because you're trying to work towards a goal. You just want to show people the truth. You just want to show people that what is written in this book is for them. And however God decides to deal with them and yourself, however he decides to do that, it's going to be different. But if Jesus is who he says he is, then we don't really have to worry about what else is going to happen. All we need to do is worry about what he's doing in our lives and that we're doing what he's asked us to do. If I don't do what he's asked me to do, I made the mistake. I don't project that onto anyone else. Don't project your stuff onto others. Don't project your preconceived ideas of what a Christian needs to look like. There's a lot of different Christians out there. And if you're uncomfortable, good. I want you to be uncomfortable. You need to be uncomfortable. You need to put yourself with people that make you uncomfortable because life is messy, people are messy, but God is perfect. And so I'm asking you today to realize that God wants to do something great in your life. He loves you. He cares for you. Bless you. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants the best for you. But when we say he wants the best for you, it doesn't mean you're not going to go through trials. It doesn't mean you're not going to go through those squiggly lines. It doesn't mean that. What it means is as you're going, you have him with you, giving you the strength, protecting you. And if it's my time to go, if it's your time to go, guess what? We go. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for sending your son. When the world was at the perfect time and needed a savior, you sent your son. You spoke to all those that needed to be spoken to at different times and brought them together. And I ask today, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, that we will celebrate that together and lift each other up, all from different walks of life, different backgrounds, different journeys. We're in our different journeys at different stages, that we will come together to build each other up and show love and know that your timing is perfect and that you love and care about us so much that you believe in us, in who we can be, and you are walking us through that in your timing. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.